Good morning.
Good morning.
The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I trust that everybody that is here today is encouraged and challenged as we journey to that heavenly city. You know, we are... The Lord intends for us to be pilgrims and sojourners on a way to a heavenly country whose builder and maker is God. And my desire this morning is that each and every person that is here today is encouraged and challenged to press on, to finish the course with victory, that we can all cross the finish line and hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Yes. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. There is nothing else that will compare with hearing those words. To be able to be welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. And I don't want to do anything in this life, this temporary life, that's passing so quickly, that's so fleeting in the scheme of things. I don't want to miss out on that heavenly country. So this morning I have a message that's titled, Choose Life. And I'd like to encourage you with that thought. I'd like to first turn to Deuteronomy and read five verses. In the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, and maybe we'll start in the 15th verse. This is the words of the Lord as spoken through Moses. And he said, see... In other words, observe, take note, be awake to, don't let it pass you by. Understand what it is in front of you. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God will bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, because of all of these things, because of the reality of the fact that there is life and death and blessing and cursing, therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. If you don't choose life, by default, you will find yourself on the way of death. You don't have to choose the way of death. It happens all on its own unless you make a deliberate decision to choose life. Yes. And I want to encourage you this morning to be deliberate in your life. Be deliberate with your decision making. Be deliberate about how you spend your time. Be deliberate about what you think about. Be deliberate about choosing life. Be deliberate about choosing Jesus Christ. You know, I'm struck with the fact that in this temporal life, we go to great lengths to preserve life, don't we? There's a lot of stoplights out there at intersections. And there's a reason for it. Because there is an understanding and a recognition that if people don't stop at intersections, there's going to be an accident. And if you're not careful, someone's going to lose their life. And you only have one life. You don't get to die and then hit reset and start over. It's serious business when you lose your life. And so there's white lines that are painted down the middle of the road, and there's stoplights and stop signs, and you go into the store, and almost everything you buy has this thing called health data on the back, right? Or health information or something. I don't pay, it's probably probably as much attention to it as I should. You can buy a bag of carrots and it'll have health data. And it'll tell you, you know, the calories and the fat content and the sugar and all these things. And you can get a Snickers bar and it says the same thing. Why? Because there's a recognition that what we put in our body affects our health. Yes. And our health determines our quality of life, and in some instances can mean the end of our life. Almost everything that you buy in the retail world out there, whether you realize it or not, most things that you purchase, there has been a lot of thought and effort and expense and time gone into considering the effects of that thing on your life. And if there's danger associated with it and what it might could do to you. And there's billions of dollars spent in the medical world and in the research world trying to preserve life. Trying to preserve temporal life. And it's remarkable to me during this COVID-19 virus. It's remarkable when you look out and you begin to consider all of the things that have been instituted and put in place. Businesses are shutting down worldwide. Social distancing has happened. Manufacturing plants have repurposed what their primary purpose was to make certain things, and they've repurposed it to manufacture things that are intended to preserve life. Yep. But what about eternal life?
Most important.
What about your soul? What about when this life passes and then eternity stretches out in front of us? What about that? I'm not hearing anything about that on the news. I hear so much about all of this other and all of the things we must do. We need to practice putting space between ourselves and those things that might potentially cost us our life. You following me? We're putting so much emphasis on thinking about how our daily activities look, how we spend our time, and how we approach the duties of life. How we approach our entertainment. How we approach the discretionary time that we have, and being challenged to rethink what we do with our lives and our decision making to try to do those things that would preserve life. But what about our spiritual life? Are we doing the same things about that? How important is that? Well, the Lord put it this way. He said, I have set before you life and I've set before you death. I've set before you blessing and I've set before you cursing. And He put it right in front of us. It's supposed to be a mystery. This is not supposed to be where we get to the end of the way and the Lord, and we're just clueless when we get before the Lord at the judgment. He says, you're gonna end up with life. And 1, 2, 3, you've received death. The Lord never intended for it to be an unknown. The Lord wants us to choose life. The Lord has a place for us in His body. The Lord has a special place for you at His table, and He wants us to be deliberate about choosing life because He knows there is the reality of death, of the alternative to life. There's not three ways, there's two. There's life, there's death, there's blessings, and there's cursing. And the Lord never intended for it to be hidden before us, but He said He set it before us, and the choice is ours. Are you glad about that? Something that important. I don't want it to be somebody else's choice on whether or not I receive life or death. The Lord has given every one of us the choice. It's before us. And as I mentioned, He has a table that's spread with all of the good things of life that He wants you to enjoy.
Yes.
He wants you to partake of. He wants you to understand who He is. Oh, He's willing to condescend to the created and make a place and carve out a chair and put my name on the back of it. Rod Smith. Well, with my birth date and social security number to make sure there's no confusion and no one can take my place, and it's a special place. And He invites me to come and choose life. Choose it. Be deliberate about it. Choose life and come sit at the table and enjoy the seat that I've prepared for you. So why is it then? Why is it then that he would have to go to the extent that he does to remind us to be careful and to choose life? Why would it be a question to choose life over death? Well, there are reasons. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time this morning on all of those reasons, but I will say this. We live in a troubled world today. And there are times that people choose death consciously. And sometimes because of the world we live in and the spirit of the enemy that works against us, people can find themselves in some desperate places. Desperate places where they've lost hope, where they feel like that there is no good alternative for life for them anymore, and feel like perhaps they even deserve death, or they're deceived into thinking that it's a better way than remaining in this world. And I want to say this morning that if there's anybody here or anybody that listens to this message and you find yourself beginning to relate to this idea of feeling desperate and without hope, I want to encourage you this morning that Jesus Christ came to bring deliverance to the desperate. Jesus Christ came to deliver us from our captivity. He came to heal us from those bruised places. He came to open the eyes of the blind. He came to pick up the lame. And if you're here today, and you know, we come sometimes and we come to church and we put on our Sunday best and we put a smile on our face and we can look around and it looks like everybody's doing well. But I want to tell you the reality of it is that we live in a troubled world and people are in trouble today. And we can feel desperate. We, the folks that are in here today, we can get in those places where we feel desperate. And I want to encourage you that if you find yourself sinking and you don't know what the answer is, reach your hand up. Jesus Christ came to deliver us. He came to give us help. He came to give Christians help. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father to give help to those that call on His name. And I want to encourage you to do that this morning. Yes, but sadly, there are many people that are lost. And they choose death because they feel hopeless. There are others in the world that perhaps they're not feeling so desperate, but they've been deceived because they've been led to believe that the way of life is the way of death is actually the way of life and vice versa. And they're told if you go this way, this is what life looks like. And in reality, it's the way of cursing. It's the way of death. The world has a way of putting the shiny lights out there and promises. And if you do this, you'll feel this. And so much money is spent on advertising and the glitz and the glamour and the promises. And if it's not of the Lord, it's a dead end. And sadly, many people get to the end of the way, live their whole lives chasing after something that is not of the word of the Lord, only to find out that it's a dead end. But I want to get a little closer this morning. Did you know that there can also be people who aren't deceived? They recognize the way of life and the way of death. Really? They don't feel desperate. Maybe they are not in a deceived state, but we can get to a place where we resist change. We get to a place where we're too willing to delay and defer action. We can get in a place where we're not willing to respond to the voice of the Spirit when He calls, and we have a hard time sometimes embracing sacrifice. And sometimes we have a hard time planning for our future spiritual good because of the here and now. And I think sometimes of the parable of the unjust steward. You remember that parable?
Yes.
You know, remember where the man hadn't done his business very well for his master, so he knew he was going to get kicked out of the house. So before he got kicked out, you know, he called all the debtors and said, "Hey, you owe 100. Tell you what, you give me 50 and we're going to call it good." And then he called another one, did the same thing until he made, said, "Friends of mammon." So when he got kicked out of the house, he had some friends out there somewhere to go. And I've always been struck at the end of that parable. It said that the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. And it can be, you know, a difficult parable. There's some different interpretations you can get out of it. But I've thought about this, folks. I am struck by how well people of the world can plan, how much people of the world are willing to sacrifice, not just people of the world, but us, we included, we're willing to sacrifice and do things and plan, whether it's for retirement or a big bank account or material things or a person or our hobby, whatever it is. We'll get up early in the morning. We'll do without eating those things we'd like to eat because we're planning for a future place. And sometimes people of the world do that better than the children of light sometimes in planning for our spiritual good and our spiritual welfare. And the question this morning is, will we practice shutting down non-life-saving activities in our own life? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to repurpose our lives and how we spend our time and the things that we do so that we put choosing Jesus Christ ahead of these other things? Are we willing, let me say it this way, are we willing to practice social distance with those things that the Lord has said, those things can do you some harm? Be careful how close you get to those things. Can we get a vision this morning of what life really means? And I want to pause for a moment and I want to say this. Life is not all about you. Your life is not all about you. My life is not all about me. Jesus Christ made His life more than just about Him. The scripture tells us that He was willing to come down. He said that though He was like God in the likeness of God, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Himself the form of a servant and became in the likeness of man and in the likeness of man became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why? He did that for us. There was a greater plan. And I want to encourage you this morning that the Lord has a plan for your life that often extends beyond you. We're asked to carry crosses sometimes. And we can look at it and say, well, that doesn't look like a cross that feels good to me. Well, it might not. But what about the greater plan? God's ways are higher than our ways. He has a plan that's above and beyond the limited temporal life that we look at and plan around. And He wants us to capture a vision of what real life is all about. And that's following Jesus Christ and earning entrance, not by our works, but by the grace of Jesus Christ. And be able to go into heaven and have lost souls and desperate people and people that are without hope come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want to read a verse in Philippians 3 and 8. Paul said, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." What is he saying here? You know, Paul had a vision. He got to the place where he recognized that the value of those things that he was having to sacrifice and set aside, when he looked at that value compared to the excellency and the truth of Jesus Christ, the value of those things was but as dung. And he went on to say in Romans, the 8th chapter, he said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy, not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Do you share Paul's vision today? Do you think that we might get to the end of the way after having followed Jesus, after having made some sacrifices, after having chosen His way above our own, think we're going to get the end of the way and look backwards and say, well, man, I sure gave up some things. Sure wish that I would have pushed the limit a little bit more. You know, when I'm looking backward, I see I could have enjoyed a few more things of the world and think the Lord would have still taken me, and I sure wish I would have done that. You think we're going to be there?
No.
I don't think so. I think we're going to look backwards and say, why did we put so much emphasis? Why were we so stuck on what I wanted to do? Why was I so concerned about how my time was going to be spent and how it was going to satisfy me? Why couldn't I got a better bit? Why didn't I just trust more and have faith in the Lord? I think that we're going to get to the end of the way. And we're going to look backward and we're going to recognize that whatever value we thought there was ascribed to those things that we wanted to hold on to, that in fact we sacrificed, that value is going to seem as nothing. And so this morning, Jesus Christ wants us to choose life.
Yes.
He wants us to choose Him. He wants us to capture that same vision. Yes, there's going to be some sacrifice. Yeah, there's going to be some things that we have to give up, some things we're going to have to repurpose in life. But it's not so that we remain dead, but it's that we might receive life. Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross that He might stay dead, but that He came that we might bring life. And there's going to be some crosses that we have to bear, but it's so that we might gain life. It's not sacrifice just for the sake of sacrifice. And I want to say this morning, and I trust the Lord that we get a hold of it. God doesn't want us just to get a hold of religion.
No, He doesn't.
The Lord's not looking for us to find this place where we bear this cross and we bear this cross and we're willing to give this up and repurpose this, and all the while we're keeping notes of all the things, the crosses, and we've earned our way. You can't earn your way into heaven.
No.
You can't do enough good in life to earn your... You can't be good enough. Jesus Christ came because we couldn't save ourselves. The Lord did not bring grace that we might remain in bondage to the law. God's not interested in us remaining in bondage to the law. Did you know, I fear that sometimes that the people of God can, and churches that are out there without a proper vision, they rejoice in the grace that Jesus Christ brought, and that we are no longer under the law. And yet many people start to get a vision of that, and then they revert right back to walking after the flesh. That's not why Jesus Christ came. Adam and Eve, at one point, they walked with the Lord in the garden and they communed with Him and they had a wonderful, blessed relationship with Him. But sin came along and it separated them from the Lord, and people got to the place where they didn't even recognize what sin was. They didn't even recognize the difference between right and wrong. And so the Lord sent the law by Moses. And the law came to bring about the knowledge of sin and the knowledge of right and wrong. Paul tells us it was a schoolmaster to help teach us the difference between right and wrong. And God is up here and He's way above us. And when you do this, it's sin. And when you do this, it's right. But the law didn't bring grace to live a righteous life. That wasn't part of the law. But when the law was fulfilled and the time was right, and man recognized their great need of Jesus Christ, they recognized they couldn't earn salvation. They recognized they couldn't find peace in the law, and that they needed something more than that. Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross, and He spread His arms, and He got to the point where He said, "It is finished," and the veil in the temple was rent, and the Spirit of the Lord that was dwelling in the holiest of holies came out of that place and went out into the world and was preparing to be available to come into any person's heart that accepted the gift of Jesus Christ. that He might come in and write His law in our hearts, and it didn't have to be just in the hands of a few prophets or people that studied it, but His Holy Spirit would come and live within us. And the Scripture said that He would send the Comforter, and that He would teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance, whatsoever things I have said unto you. And later on, the 16th chapter of John, He said that He had to go away. He said, it's needful, it's expedient that I go away so that I can send the Spirit of truth, that He may come and bring truth to us. The Lord didn't bring the Spirit of truth to us for us then to be freed from the law and then to revert back to living after the flesh. That wasn't the purpose that Jesus Christ brought. Living after the flesh was before the law came. And so when the law came, it brought us to a higher place than living after the flesh. It was, no, this is right and this is wrong. And the Lord helped our knowledge of right and wrong. And then Jesus came and He brought salvation and a gift of something that we couldn't purchase on our own. But He did more than that. He didn't want us to revert back to living after the flesh. He allowed His Holy Spirit to come and live and dwell in us so that we might live after and according to the Spirit. Did you know that there is peace and there is a rest associated with the vision, if we can ever get a hold of it, that you can't earn your way into heaven. You can't do enough good to get into heaven. Only by Jesus Christ and His blood will we ever get into heaven. And I don't know about you, but for me, it takes a great load off of my shoulders to know that I don't have to do enough good in myself over the course of my entire life to earn heaven, because I can't. They couldn't under the law. We couldn't now. But the Lord gave us something extra special because He came to bring us His Holy Spirit that brought grace to help us have power over the way of the flesh. And so that we live after the Spirit, not because we have to, but because we want to.
Yes.
I don't want to live and just have religion. I don't want to just live under the law because I have to, otherwise I'm going to be lost. Jesus Christ brought us an experience that we could live after the Spirit, and that we would choose Him, and that we would follow after Him, and that when we go out the door of our house in the morning, that we would say, Lord, how would You have me to live today? Lord, how would You have me to present myself today when I go to work? And Lord, how would You have me to make decisions around this important situation that I'm going to be facing? And how would You have me to respond to this person that hasn't treated me right? And Lord, You know about the expectations of so-and-so over here on my life. Lord, what would You have me to do? There is a peace and a rest and a joy that is associated with that kind of living. Paul said in the 4th chapter of Hebrews, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And at the first part of the 4th chapter, he said, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, some of you may seem to come short of. And he went ahead and said the gospel was preached, but it didn't do good for some people because there was no faith sprinkled in with it. They were still trying to live after the law. They heard the gospel message. They heard the word of the Lord, but they were still trying to earn their way in. They were too steeped in religion. They had too many things that they were trying to just follow to the letter and completely miss the rest that Jesus Christ brought. He went on, he said, there remaineth therefore a rest. What is that rest? It is the Sabbath rest that we can enter into, that the Lord provided because He had a perfect plan. He paid the price. He created the world in 6 days. On the seventh day, it said it was done. He rested, and it was looking forward to that time where His plan of salvation would be perfected. It would be complete. And we now can rest in that plan of Jesus Christ. We can rest in the gift, in His grace. We can rest in having the Spirit of the Lord come down and write His law in our hearts. And now I live my life for Jesus Christ, choosing life, choosing to follow the Lord, not because I have to, But it's because I want to.
Yes.
Because that's what brings me joy in my heart. It's because I have a vision of something more than just this temporal life and the things that are going to pass away. The Lord was not crucified to remain dead. The Lord was crucified to pay a price, but then He was resurrected from the dead. He came out of that tomb, and He saw when He was nailed to that cross, He caught a vision of His resurrection and the joy that was on the other side of the cross. The Lord saw a joy on the other side of the cross, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and was set down at the right hand of God. The Lord wants you and He wants me to capture a vision of the joy that's on the other side of the cross. There is a joy. There is a salvation. There is a peace. There is a rest. There is that part of being a follower of Jesus Christ and knowing that you have been accepted by the Lord God and your name has been written in the book of life and that you have a special place and that the Lord calls your name by your name each and every day and leads and guides and protects and lifts you up when you fall. I want to capture a vision of that this morning, and I want us to be willing to choose life and to be deliberate about it and recognize that Jesus Christ has a resurrection for you this morning. And if you lived your life and you fought and you struggled and you've tried to live just a perfect way to earn your way in and you have lost sight of the gift that Jesus came to bring and you have not felt the Spirit of the Lord working within and comforting and leading and guiding, the Lord has a special resurrection of life that He wants you to get a hold of today. He wants us, He set it before us. I've said it before you. Now it's our choice. Let's be deliberate about choosing a life. Let's pursue understanding Jesus Christ this morning. Let's pursue listening for the sound of His voice.
Yes, amen.
Oh, the Lord speaks to His people. And He cares about you. And He loves you. And He thinks good thoughts towards you. And He has a good expected end for you. But we have a part to play. We have to be willing to come before Him with all of our heart. We have to be willing to choose Him. We come to those forks in the road every day, really. And we have a choice that's set before us. Are you going to choose life? Are you going to choose death? Blessing or cursing? And the Lord is there. He's cheering us on saying, choose life.
Yes.
I'll help you. Choose life. May God help us to examine our lives and say, Lord, is there anything in my life that You would have me to repurpose? Lord, are there any things that You would rather me put a little more distance between myself and something that may be a hindrance to me and my race for life? Lord, help me to serve other people as You served other people. Help me to recognize, Lord, that life is more than just about me, but it's about the souls of those that are all around me. Lord, help me to know that You have a special place for me in Your body. Nobody's left out. The enemy likes to come along and say, well, you're not worthy. You're not good enough. You might can sit in one of these pews, but you don't have a special place. Oh, that's a lie of the enemy. Jesus has a real special, wonderful place for every single one of you. And the enemy's right there to say, yeah, well, you forfeited that because you failed so many times. That's why Jesus came.
Yes.
Jesus came to lift up the fallen. A just man falls seven times and riseth again. Why? Because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Because He's still sitting at the right hand of the throne of the Father. Because He's still there, paid an awful price for our forgiveness. He paid that price and He doesn't want it to be in vain.
No, He doesn't.
He wants to do something with that price that He paid. And when He looks down and sees one of His people fallen, And he looks down and he sees one of us stumbled and failed the grace of God. And he sees us reach back up and cry out to him with all of our hearts, Lord, would you forgive me? Lord, would you restore me into your, Lord, good favor? Would you forgive me, Lord? Oh, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to lift us up out of that pit that we find ourselves in, out of the dirt, and brushes us off and lends us a hand and sets us on our way with a new song in our heart. That's the rest. That's the rest that the people of God have in Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us pursue life and go after these things. My desire this morning is that we would have a desire to be as gold tried in the fire, that we would be clothed in white raiment, that we would have our eyes anointed with eye salve, that we might see, because that's where life is. And in closing, I want to say this. I know that in life, we can go along in life sometimes and we can get on the wrong roads. We get off on the wrong way, the wrong route, sometimes innocently. Sometimes we get drawn into it. Other times not so innocently. We should have seen it coming. But we serve a Lord that is so good to put little markers along those way that says the way of life, to get us redirected back onto the way of life. The Lord is so good to speak to us through His Holy Spirit, to whisper to us when we need encouragement, to help us to know that He's there and He hasn't forsaken us. And when we feel lonely sometimes and we hear no voice and we're looking around wondering, where is the Lord? I'll be encouraged to stick in there.
Yes, indeed.
Don't lose faith. Keep your trust in the Lord. One of these days, as we stay faithful to the Lord in the right timing, He'll come to you just like He did to Daniel and say, "Oh man, greatly beloved from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to hear my words, your words, you were heard of the Father." God hears your cry. He hears your voice. This morning, let's be encouraged that as the choice is set before us of life and death and blessing and cursing, let's be challenged to be deliberate each day,
yes,
to choose life. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with each one of you. Amen.